Hey guys, you're in for a really big treat today, so I want to introduce you to a friend of ours. He's preached here before. He was here on staff for a little while, and he's moved away now. Been through a lot, and he's going to share his story with you today. And I just pray that God will just open your hearts to hear from him, what God's put in his heart for you today. So we just pray with me real quick. Father, just thank you for a chance that we have to come together and worship you and lift you up in our praises, to celebrate communion and remember what Jesus did for us. And God, now we want to hear from your word. And so I just pray that you will just be with Ryan as he gives the word today. Be with us, Lord. Open our ears and open our hearts and open our lives and change us today. Not by something brilliant that Ryan says, Lord, but by the power of your word and the power of your spirit in him. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys welcome my friend Ryan Callahan.
All right, for the next 30 seconds, what I want you to do is not think about a white bear. Whatever you do, don't think about a white bear. Now, all of you, right when I said white bear, you immediately thought of a white bear. Because it's called the ironic process theory. In the 1980s, the psychologist did this study with people, and he said, he basically unpacked this idea that it doesn't matter how hard you try to not think of a thing stated, that you will immediately think of that thing stated. Now, I don't know you personally, but I know that you've been hurt. I know that you probably carried hurt in here, and even in your smile, you didn't necessarily show that hurt to others, but that hurt walks with you. That's the white bear. You've been hurt so badly by that person or that statement or that event that it's changed the way you show up in the world. You're less outgoing. You talk a little bit less with those people. That's the white bear. And no matter how hard you try, maybe you go to therapy or you do all these things, you pray as hard as you can, or you read the Bible as much as you can, you go to those small groups, and nothing seems to help you get away from this white bear. And see, he's cute. He's a cuddly little white bear. There's nothing wrong with him. But see, when you're hurt and when I'm hurt, what happens is this unforgiveness, it starts off really small. And it's cute and cuddly and we can hold it, but then it grows up to what it actually is, which is something that can maul us and take our life. And that unforgiveness, when we don't actually deal with it the way we're supposed to, all of a sudden it grows up and it takes over our life and we become unrecognizable to what God actually put in us. So today, that's what we're gonna deal with. We're going to talk about a story that comes out of Exodus, and we're going to walk through what it looks like to actually get healing around this thing, this person. Because I know this to be true. If that person that hurt you walked through the door right now, you would try to get out that door right there. Now, you may not tell anyone that. You may not ever actually, no one may not even know that you carry that pain around. But I know you'd try to escape it. And God wants to deal with that in your heart today. Will you let him deal with that today? Will you pray with me as we get started? What I want you to do is put your hands out like this in a position of surrender out in front of you, because I believe God wants to place something in your hands today. So God, we come before you and we're humble before you. We realize that the pain we carry, we can't necessarily give you. Sometimes we hold really tightly to that unforgiveness. But we know today, God, that you want to take it out of our hand. And you want to put something new there. You want to put this healing and restoration. And God, I pray that whatever distraction is in our heart and mind today, that you would just get rid of that for the next few minutes. That we would be clearly open to what you want to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 15, and I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then we're going to unpack those verses together. So Exodus 15, verse 22 says, Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commandments and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water. Now, you didn't get those verses on purpose because I wanted you to hear the full context of what we're unpacking today. And then as we go verse by verse, I want you to understand that sometimes when we read the Bible, we get a snapshot and we say, okay, that's a cool story. He made the water not bitter any longer, but now he made it sweet, and then they got to drink some water. Okay, cool, let's move on to the next story. But when we do that, we miss the depth of what's actually going on. See, the Israelites had just come through the Red Sea. This huge miracle had just happened. They watched their enemy actually drown in the waters after they had walked on dry ground to be saved. They were completely delivered. The 430 years of slavery that they had just gone through was now over. The hurt, watching their kids be put to death, because the pharaohs at the time said, any male child who's an Israelite, put him to death. So for 430 years, they witnessed the abuse and the forced labor and all these things that they intellectually were dealing with, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Their whole bodies were being hurt at every level. And they watched the Lord deliver them from that bondage. And here they stand on the other side of the Red Sea, and we get this story. So let's look at it again. Verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. Often, when God delivers you, that day you raise your hand and you say, yes, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to take the sacrifice that you gave, and I want to be saved. And you're saved. We all have this tendency to think everything's going to be perfect and up to the right, but it doesn't quite go that way. Because we can be delivered, but the full deliverance hasn't happened. You see, what's happening here is actually a foreshadow of how Jesus, when he was full of the Spirit, the Bible in the New Testament says that he was fasting for 40 days, and the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tested. So we see right here that Moses led the people away from the deliverance into the desert. What? I don't think this sounds like the story I want to live. I was in bondage and I was in slavery and I was there. I was eating though. I had water to drink. Even though it was terrible and it was emotionally abusive and it was all these things were just like, I still ate and I still had a place to sleep and my family had this place to call home. And even though it wasn't the design of the original home, I was safe. And now you're going to deliver me and put me in the desert and have me wander around. Who are you, God? And what are you doing? But this is how it goes. Because when Jesus says, pick up your cross daily, it's not just a metaphor. It's this is how I teach you. I teach you in the times of suffering. I teach you when that person did you wrong and said that thing and made your life miserable. I'm teaching you and I'm taking you from that deliverance and that salvation and I'm walking you through the desert because only in the desert can you truly find me. And that's what's happening here. And so they traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. This is foreshadowing the 3 days after Jesus dies on the cross. There's 3 days and everybody's going, is it over? I thought he was gonna be the king. And everybody's wondering, when are we gonna get that drink? Now let's make it personal in your life. When something bad happens in your life, you typically wall up. You put walls all around you, and those walls protect you from that hurt again. I will never be hurt like that again, you say. But what happens is no water can get in. And you start to thirst for relationship. You start to thirst for things. And in that walled community, yes, you're safe, but the things that you need to supply your life are not getting in. And God wants to say, get out of that and come here. I'm going to provide that very drink of water that you need. And this 3 days is this period of unknown. And what the Israelites were going through is if you don't have water for 3 days, what happens is your body starts to shut down. So you think of these Israelites, they're 600,000 men and their families. So most estimate that there's like 3 million people walking in the desert and Moses is in charge of getting them water. And he's failing at this mission. And for 3 million people walking in the desert, they come on this oasis, right? But they're walking for 3 days and they're getting tired. They're getting exhausted and they're in the desert. So the climate is wrong for this. Like they're getting dehydrated. Their organs are starting to slow down because at 3 days, that's when your body starts dying. Now, most can live beyond that, right? And the doctor's in here, like he doesn't know what he's talking about. But it's true. That what happens is we have to have water. We can all fast for like 40 days. We can go without food, but we can't go without water. Our bodies need water. And so they're walking around and they can't find water. Verse 23. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. What? Oasis? So they're exhausted. Are they seeing water? Oh, yay! Finally, my child who I've been traipsing through the desert now gets to drink some water. Just kidding. It tastes too bad. It's bitter. Have you ever had a water that doesn't taste right? Immediately, you drink that water and you try as quickly as you can to get that out of your mouth. So imagine, though, you haven't had water for 3 days. And now you're excited. Oh, God has provided. Oh, God is for me. Oh, God is healing me. Oh, God is with me. Ugh. And there's this immediate, I guarantee you that most of them were just there going, really? Oasis? Yes, technically it's an oasis. An oasis is just water in a barren place. But it's not truly the epitome of what oasis means because oasis is this idea of refreshing and this idea of fulfillment and restoration, that this is a place where you could actually stay for a while. where you could be refreshed. And they called this place Mara. Verse 24. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink, they demanded. 3 million people, kill this dude, Moses. He doesn't know what he's doing. He came into our very stable area and saved us, but now we're on the mission to actually die out here. And immediately, the deliverance that they once felt, the miracle that they saw God do in their life, it just disappears. And here they are grumbling and complaining and turning against Moses. Hey, this is what you and I do all the time. Hey, God, I'd really love you to give me that job. I'd really love you to help me with X. And my expectation is way up here. And then God goes, not yet. Really? And we get angry. And we start to complain against this God. You see, God sees the whole story and we only see a little portion of it. What are we going to drink, they demanded. Verse 25. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. In other translations, it says sweet. Now, Moses does the right thing. Moses understands that what his provision actually comes from God. But if you know Moses' story, it didn't start off like that. He actually had to go to his own desert for 40 years. He actually had to understand his relationship with God before he could lead someone else through it. And you can find that out in chapters 1 through 14. And I don't have time to unpack it, but I want you to understand this, that Moses' desert was transformative for him in such a way that he now came out of that going, the only thing I can do is trust God. All I have left is to trust God. I can't trust in my own abilities. I can't trust in what I can do or they can do or whatever. I have to trust in God. And the only way I can show that I trust in God is to cry out to him and give him what I can't do. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and Moses threw it into the water, and the water was made good to drink. This is about the cross of Jesus Christ. The water, he takes a piece of wood, he throws this wood into the water. They're like, what is this guy doing? But he knows that it's going to change the chemical balance of the water. It's going to go from bitterness to sweet. In our life, we have to have the cross. Doesn't matter how hard we try, we can give it all our best, we can do all the right things, and we're still going to fall short. But when that wood hits the water of our lives, it changes us from the inside out. It makes us who we're supposed to truly be, and we have to rely on that. We can't go to the water without the wood in the water. And neither could they. It was at Mara that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. Verse 26. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals. Again, he's pointing to the law. He's saying, if you follow me, if you trust me, if you begin to live as I've stated for you to live, you're not going to end up like the Egyptians. I am the Lord who heals. And I highlighted this on purpose because there's this beautiful word here in the original language that says Jehovah Rapha. and it's the Lord who heals. But when you dive into it and you start to look at what the rabbis would say about this word, it was full restoration. It wasn't just physically healing something, although that's in there. It was emotional. It was mental. It was physical. It was holistic healing of every aspect of who you are. Jehovah Rapha. And that's what we need. We need this Jehovah Rapha. We need this Jesus who heals to come into that hurt, that wound, that bitterness, that bear that lives, that white bear that lives in our heart and go, you're done. You've had a good time. Like, you're now gonna be no longer a part of their story. And he's the only one that can do it. Because it doesn't matter what kind of pain you walked in here with, whether it's a physical pain or it's an emotional pain or it's some kind of mental pain, we all walk with pain. And maybe it's not that you can't forgive somebody else, but you can't forgive yourself for what you did. Or maybe it's that you can't forgive God because you think God is out to get you in some way. But whatever you're carrying, Jehovah Rapha can restore you. But you've got to submit to this Jehovah. You've got to listen for his voice. You've got to be more in tune with who he is. He's crying out for this relationship, and he's saying, I can give you everything you need, but you just have to trust me. These Israelites... Let's go to verse 27, and then I want to show you a pattern. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled onto the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there beside the water. Is this another oasis where we have bitter water and all this stuff? Like, are we going to just do this again? This verse is so powerful because when you look at it, it says 12 springs. There's 12 tribes in Israel. And there's 70 descendants that originally showed up in Egypt. So God is saying through this scripture, I am going to completely restore every single individual Israelite. And I'm going to give each one water. I'm going to heal and restore every single one of you to how I originally created you. And yes, it's going to take me 40 years of teaching you how to trust me in the desert, but I'm going to completely and without a doubt restore every single one of you. And this paradise is just a foreshadow to the promised land, which is heaven for us, which is communion with Jesus again, complete restoration, no hurt, no pain, no nothing. But we see this pattern emerge. If you read actually through the entire Old Testament, you'll see this pattern. I want to throw that pattern up there. God delivers at some level, and then God tests us, and then we complain because we don't like the test. And then some leader actually cries out to God and does the right thing. And then God provides. Now, where's the opportunity lie? Well, let me show you. Right here at the test. Because God is going to deliver you in small ways. And today, I believe God's going to deliver a lot of you in small ways. And then you take that next step, and there's a little bit more, and there's a test. And in the test, whatever that test is after today, that's going to be your opportunity. It's also going to be your desert. Now I have to actually walk out healing. I want to forgive that person. I want to release them because they're holding on to me, and I don't like that. But I don't know how to do that. So I'm going to take one step in that direction and one step in that direction. And that's where the opportunity lies. And this whole story is about God saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me with your pain, with your hurt, with that situation? And most of us, if we were truly honest, would say, no way, because you let me go through it. No way, because if you were God, you wouldn't have let it happen to me. But God's saying, there's gonna be water in your desert, and I'm going to restore you fully. I want to show you some scriptures in the New Testament, and then I'm going to end. The wood that we saw Moses throw into the water comes, this is really cool. Matthew 27:34. It says this. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. He's taking on the sins of the world. The full restoration of humanity is happening in this moment. And they offer him a sedative. They offer him a bitter gall. Wait, what was the water? Bitter. And this bitter gall would actually make him feel less of the pain. And what does he do? Nope. Because I want to take all sin on me. I want to feel all of the pain. The pain you carry, I want to feel that on this cross, because I don't want a sedative. I don't want to sleep through this process, because I love them that much. And then there's another one. The next verse, Luke 22:23-34, and it says this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes. He's on the cross. And the first thing he does is forgive those that put him up there. So why in our lives do we think that we get to hold on to this pain over here and carry it? Why not just hang it on the cross? Why not put the pain where it's already been taken care of? Why not get to a place where, yes, it's been bitter and I've been holding on to this thing and I don't know how to forgive, but today what I'm going to do is I'm going to release this. And even if it's just words at first and then it's some sort of action after that, I know that today I was supposed to be in the room to hear a message about the bitterness in my heart, and that God can make that bitterness sweet if I just allow that wood to hit the water of my life and transform me. Will I let him? Will I let him? So I don't know. Will you? Imagine if everybody in the room decided today that whoever they're mad at, whatever situation, whatever person, was now going to be forgiven. Imagine what kind of revival would happen amongst this group of people. Because now I'm not just delivered, but I'm free. I don't have to worry about these things that hold me back any longer. And guess what? I don't have to walk in the desert for 40 years. I'm sort of just taking this shortcut to the promised land, and I'm living in this freedom that Jesus gives me because he has made me free. I don't have to have that hold on to me anymore. Unforgiveness is a poison that we drink hoping the other person dies. It's a prison cell that we shut the door on and it's completely unlocked. And we live in that prison cell and we wish that someone would open it, and God's like, just open it. Just walk out. So will you? I'm gonna play a song. It's called Healer. It's by one of my favorite Christian bands. And the reason I want to play this song is because I want to give you a space and an opportunity to actually respond to the message. Now, for some of you, this will be different. For others, you'll be like, this is great. Just go with me for a few minutes. This song talks about that God is our healer. And however you need to respond, maybe that's you're going to come up to a prayer team member that will be up here in the front. Or you just need to close your eyes and really let the music wash over you. Or maybe you just, during this time, need to take that person that's really hurt you and you just need to go, okay, God, I release them to you. And you just need to just have space to do that. That's what we're gonna do. For the next few minutes, you're gonna hear a song. Then I'm gonna come up and I'm gonna pray with us and then give you next steps. All right, let's pray together. So God, we come before you right now and we ask that you show up in the form of Jehovah Rapha, that you restore us in the only way that you see fit, and that we learn how to trust you completely, fully, that we lean so heavily on what you did on the cross, that the water becomes sweet in our life. I pray for those that are hurting today. And I pray for reprieve today. I pray for peace today. I pray for rest of the soul today. And I pray for that bitterness to be uprooted today. In Jesus' name, amen. So next steps really quickly. I talked with Debbie and the prayer team prior to coming out here, and they told me that the church does something really cool that I want to tell you about, and it's called forgiveness prayer. And the idea is that someone, sorry?
Freedom prayer.
Same thing. So even better, but same thing. So freedom prayer is this idea that you take this unforgiveness, whatever's going on in your heart and your life, these debts that you can't pay, and you come into a group and they pray over you, both scripturally and spiritually, and so that you can find this freedom. So if you want to take that as your next step, go to the connection booth, get information about that, and sign up for one. But more importantly than that, maybe you need prayer after this. Maybe you need to agree with somebody today, or you need to talk with Pastor Larry or Pastor Mike during the week and get into some counseling and start to really uproot the bitterness in your heart so that you truly can be free. I encourage you to do that. I thank you for your time, and may God bless every single one of you.
Okay, if you're a volunteer and you have a station to get to, this is your chance to get to your spot before everybody else tramples you. The prayer team is going to be up here for a little while today, so just really encourage you, man, if you feel like you need prayer. I know it's a little cultural difference for us to walk forward during something, and so now they're going to be here for as long as it takes. So if you need prayer, I would encourage you to come up here and have these folks pray with you. And freedom prayer is a pretty awesome thing that we have here, and I've been through it myself, and a lot of our leadership has, and it's a really powerful thing to just sit in the presence of God with three godly people who will help you hear from God. They're not going to tell you what God is saying. They're just going to help you hear from God and pray with you. So I really encourage you, if freedom prayers for you, stop by the Connection Center or fill out a connection card. We'll get a hold of you. I did want to let you know, a lot of people are asking about Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving Day was awesome. For those of you that brought food, I just want to say thank you for that. We had like 120 people here having Thanksgiving together. So that was really a fun day and really a blessing. A lot of people we didn't know. A lot of people we haven't seen for a long time, and we had singles and couples and families, and it was just really a really cool time of fellowship together. So that was awesome. So if you brought food for that, I want to say thanks. And then as far as Christmas, so the 22nd is going to be on a Sunday. So that day we will have our regular church services, so our regular 9 and 11 service times. And then Christmas Eve we'll have services at 12:30, 2 o'clock, and 3:30. So I'd really encourage you, man. And if you've got a friend that you've been, you know, really wanting to invite to church and you know they're going to say no, like, I'm telling you, this is your best chance this year until Easter. Some of these people, you won't talk to you again until Easter about this stuff. So it'll really be a great, great time to invite somebody to church. So I encourage you to come on Christmas Eve. Come early. We want to be in here. It's a little darker. Parking's a thing. So we want to make sure everybody gets in space. And that is it. God bless you guys. If you need prayer, I really encourage you to come up here. Freedom Prayer, sign up at the Connection Center. If you see Ryan, give him a hug. Thanks, guys.